Welcome back to the Section 5 podcast. I'm your host, Trey. And today we got some special guests. I got my guy, Shaleem, my guy, Troy, and my guy, Shane. Today,
it's good.
How are you guys? How we doing?
What's going on?
Today we're going to talk about some C's. We're going to get into the roster a little bit. We're going to rant and rave about some things. So we're going to get right into it. We're about 4 weeks into the start of the NBA training camp. It's going to start in September. As of right now, the Celtics have 16 players under contract, 15 of which are fully guaranteed. Jabari Parker was just guaranteed for $100,000. He will become fully guaranteed at the end of training camp. So Brad Stevens, he still has some work left to do within the next 4 weeks.
When you say 15 guys, is that including G League players or two-way players, right? Because only 12 can suit up or something, or 14.
So you can have up to 15 on the roster, 17 including the two-ways. But only, I believe, 13 now can suit up. And we do have one two-way player currently under contract. In case Celtics fans haven't seen him play, his name is Sam Hauser.
Yup.
He's a pretty...
I like him.
Yeah, that boy can shoot, man.
Yeah, definitely.
While we're on the topic of two-way players, just going to segue right to it. Does anybody have a specific two-way player in mind that they would like to see on the Celtics for that last spot?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Caleb Martin from the Hornets. I mean, he just got released. He's a young guy. He can shoot three, just like Sam. I mean, he'll be a great addition on the bench. Tail end of the bench, at least.
Oh, yeah, he's solid. I like him. He's valid.
For sure. I like Caleb Martin, too. I think he's okay, but I think because I did see that they were accepting offers, I'd have to double-check my Google sources. But I really, really like Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks from the Memphis Grizzlies is the exact type of player I feel like that would just go perfect with, you know, just our style of play and just the grittiness that he brings. And, you know, I'm seeing rumors of maybe Cavs Grizzlies trading, featuring Dylan Brooks, Portland Trail Blazers. So there's definitely rumors. You know what I mean? If we could somehow snag him, I think he would be amazing for us.
Yeah, he's definitely on the list for potential TPE targets. With the Fournier TPE that we just acquired, it's worth 17 mil. Dylan Brooks is definitely on that list, long list of players. Shane, do you have a two-way player that you would like to see on the Celtics or no?
Yeah, I mean, with the two-ways, I'm not too intrigued with them. I mean, just with the way the roster is set up right now, I don't think there's too many two-way guys that wouldn't be able to make an impact or crack the rotation. I mean, I like I said about Hauser earlier, I do like the way he shoots the ball, he spaces the court, and, you know, he knows when to shoot the shots. You know, a lot of guys who come out of college or you know, undrafted guys, they known for shooting the ball, but they don't know when is the best time to shoot it. Some guys chuck out bad shots. Some guys just, you know, don't shoot it at all enough. I like this kid's poise. He knows when to shoot the ball, and he might, you know, during the season, crack the rotation a little bit and, you know, play suit up in the garden a couple times. But right now, I'm not too crazy about, you know, using up the other spot there for one of those guys. I think we want to look for maybe a veteran guy if we're going to look to add anybody.
Yeah, a guy that I watched a little bit was Rob Edwards. He played for OKC in Summer League. He's a guard. I think he's about 6'4", 6'5". Can shoot it really well. Another Edwards, but hopefully a better Edwards that the Celtics could add to the team.
Yeah, he's definitely solid.
I don't think the Celtics really are in dire need of too much. Maybe the backup four position. But then again, you have Grant Williams and you have Jabari Parker, depending on what, you know, Brad decides to do with the roster. So I don't really feel like there's a dire need for that two-way spot. Just, I guess, the best talent.
I wonder if they're banking on Jan Madar being able to be bought out or agreeing with the terms with overseas to be able to get him over here. I don't know. I wonder if that's what is at play here, if we kind of banked on that, but I think it's kind of a blow to that we didn't get able to bring him over this season. He was pretty solid.
Did they think he was ready though?
I think they feel as though his game is ready. I just think it's a money thing over there with them. Like I don't know. He had the chance to come over here. I think both sides were willing to make something work. I think they had the understanding where he was going to be coming over here. And you know, like I said, they made a move. He's going to be coached by the most popular or most famous coach over there in Europe. Yeah. And you know, he's going to get a little bit more money. So you know, it'll be whatever.
You think he got signed, Shalene?
Yeah, he signed with another team. I think.
Yeah, he signed with
him before that last summer league game. I think he signed somewhere.
Yeah, nice. It's
all right. So it was like his decision then.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my thing. Okay. He made a conscious decision. You know, kind of like, you know, he knew he had an opportunity to come over here, and you know, there was a need for him at that time when we wanted him to come over. Yeah, I think there wasn't a Schroeder signing. We didn't have Dennis. You know what I mean? It was up in the air at point guard. So there was, you know, the idea that he could, you know, come in there not looking to start or anything like that, but to definitely, you know, crack the rotation a little bit. So I think, you know, once he decided to stay over there, it kind of took us by surprise a little bit. So that's what it is.
Yeah, I think he had a bad start to the training camp. That's what really derailed his playing time in the summer league, at least. That's what the rumors were.
How many games did he play?
Two, I think.
Really?
Yeah, but he had that one game where he kind of stood out, and that was really it.
Yeah, and that was coming off a week of bad practice, apparently.
One thing that I will say is, like, you know, I kind of am always reminded of the Rondo situation when we made the Kevin Garnett trade, and we ended up giving up Sebastian Telfair, and we got to keep Rondo. You know, maybe Yam could be our Rondo in a way, where he survives a big trade because right now he's kind of slept on and he could be part of like something bigger in the future. So I always keep that in mind. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise that he's not here this year.
Yeah, he definitely could. I also like, you know, I really like Dennis Schroeder personally. I mean, obviously, you know, depending on what he does this year, he could definitely be the biggest contract steal of the season by far for any team, for any player. But I think in terms of just, you know, immediate future and for his age and for where this team is at, I don't mind seeing him getting an extension depending on, you know, just what happens this year, how far we go, how he looks with the fit and the chemistry of this team and, you know, adds to the value that I believe that he can add. You know, we're always looking for a point guard and we're always, you know, just at least the last 4 or 5 years, just mix and matching a lot of that position while our wings are set and our future is set with the Jays and at least Robert Williams down low. We're still finding, you know, that point guard that we want to really solidify as that guy. And I feel like Schroeder could definitely be that. He just has a lot of scrappy tendencies in defense and playmaking skills that I think are really going to help us a lot. It's going to be fun to watch.
That's facts. Definitely can't wait to see Schroeder play for the Seas. I hope he has a dust up with Kyrie, as I said on the last pod.
Yeah, facts. Facts.
With all that.
Did they have that altercation before, right? That was the
the whole
N-word. Kyrie said don't call me my N-word. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very interesting. I like it. Just added more spice. Can't wait till Kyrie plays in Boston.
Yes, sir. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Brad does with the rest of the roster. We'll see what he does with that two-way spot. If he gives us something to rave about. Speaking of rave, we're going to segue into our segment called Rant or Rave. I'll give the guests a topic or statement, and the guests will then get the floor to rant about said topic or rave about it. So we're going to get started. And the first topic, I'm going to start with Shaleem. Marcus Smart's extension. Do you want to rant about that or rave about it?
I want to rave about it. I love it. I love the fact that we locked him up for 4 more years and we got him on the books, $77 million. I think it's a good extension. And a lot of people don't like his shot selection. And I think he brings the intangibles that you need on a team. And especially the Celtics, I think they lack veterans and they lack people would define roles, and I think you don't need to define Marcus Smart's role. He's already well defined since he's been in the league. So I love it.
Okay. Troy, you want to rant or rave about?
I'm right behind Shaleen on the coattails of his answer. Absolutely raving about this extension. We all know Marcus Smart is the soul and embodiment of a Celtic. And I don't really think it's fair for people to look at last year as intensely as I do and say Marcus did this or that, or he was too this or that. You guys got to understand, well, not you guys, but people got to understand when Marcus is like the fifth or sixth option, which he will be, you know, this year, he'll probably be, just off the top of my head, probably fourth or fifth at maximum with our fully healthy team. When he's there as like that kind of option is when he's at his best, because he doesn't have to worry about, using so much energy for the offense that he had to last year. But when he's like one of the first options and he's starting, that's not his role. He just adds too much to everything else to have to then also have to play like a star and score and create for everybody, because, you know, people aren't just playmaking. It's just a lot for him to do that. So now that he's in a more comfortable role, to me, in my opinion, and also with the boosted just, you know, attitude of an extension and being able to solidify where you want to stay in your NBA life and career, I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of keeping that glue together, keeping the core together. I really like that we have like everybody locked down right now.
So we're two for two. Fire. We're two for two on the rave so far. Shane,
we're going three for three, bro. We're going three for three, and it's for a couple of reasons too. Hey, I want to play devil's advocate, but I gotta agree with the dudes. Like, at the end of the day, it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win for Marcus Smart haters. It's a win for Marcus Smart lovers. Like, at the end of the day, we send a message to the league that, okay, we're taking care of our guy, Marcus Smart, the longest tenured Celtic here. We've been crushed in the media before for not taking care of guys, you know, with multiple different deals that went on with Danny. So I think it sends a good message that, you know, you take care of our guys to the league as well as to the players here. Like, hey, listen, like, you work hard, you give us your heart and soul, you know, and, you know, the fans are going to love you, and you keep contributing out there, we're going to take care of you. So that's one side to look at it. On the other side, even if, you know, he comes here and things, you know, don't work out in the immediate future, you still have that good size contract now that has more value than it did last season. All right, you add more years on it, you add more money to it. And then if you take that deal right there and you add that with the trade exception that you got from Fournier, it's about 17 and some change. That's right there with Bradley Beal's contract. So it helps you out down the line in multiple ways. Like I said, if he wants to stay on the team, that's great. You get a good guy, a core guy, a leader guy for a good number. And if you choose to move on, it's a more sexy piece in the trade market. So I love it all the way around.
Four for four with the Rays for Marcus Smart. Like Shane said, longest tenure at Celtic, like everybody alluded to, he's going to be a tradable contract moving forward. I think none of us want to see Marcus traded, but it's just the business. He's going to be making enough money to help facilitate any deal. So I'm sure his name will be involved moving forward. We're going to go to our next question of the segment. Giving up Moses Brown in the Richardson trade. How do you guys feel about that? Something that you want to rant about or rave about as far as Brad Stevens moves? We'll start with Shane.
Oh, yeah. So I just think that, you know, it's as much as I was excited to have Moses over there, another mobile big, I'm still cool with it now a little bit more because we got Cantor for the low. I think he has a lot of promise, and I was excited to see what he could do, especially because he played so well against us. And, you know, just watching the film on him, he looked like he had a lot of promise. But like you said before, you know, it's a business. And, you know, we were able to extend Richardson as well. So his deal is also a little bit more valuable on the market if we look to move that. So, I mean, you can't get too crazy about it, but I could definitely see where some people are a little bit reserved on that.
Troy, how did you feel about it?
For sure. I'm going to rave about it. Like Shane said, I can understand reservations, and I actually was pretty excited when I heard about Moses Brown coming, because I watched the game where he had nearly 20 and 20 on us in the first half, and I was just absolutely bugging. But yeah, that Celtic team last year was just really, really bad. So that was all sort of taken into account. And then I just did further research and saw that OKC was winning more when they had Al Horford. So they had to sit him. And obviously they wanted to play Moses Brown because he's the younger guy, and they were actually losing more. So that's a, you know, just something to look at. And that's just is something to say in itself. And I personally also feel Richardson just with his wing depth and his defense, you know, 3-and-D just type of player, what he adds, I feel like he can just give us a decent amount more value than what Moses Brown will give to our team. Plus, I don't think we're as bad off down low as people think. I truly think Al Horford is, you know, very, very well rested and hasn't played in a while. Like Shane mentioned, I really like Cantor coming back. We all know what he can do, and he gets rebounds and just does, you know, everything you need him to do offensively and beyond, just with his rebounding ability. And then obviously we got my guy Robert Williams, who I'm ecstatic that we extended him. I was going to bring him up in the Marcus Smart segment, but I'm just ecstatic that we extended him as well. I know we haven't seen him healthy, but I am happy that, you know, and pray that for his health, but I'm happy that we extend him because I feel he's just an absolutely amazing piece for this team, and his playmaking ability is underrated and not spoken about enough. So yeah, I think we're, you know, fine without Moses Brown.
Shaleem, you gonna rant or rave about it?
So we're gonna be 3-for-3. I'm gonna rave about this. Actually, I like it from the standpoint of we're trading away a guy that has promise. I mean, I think the Celtics, the makeup of the Celtics roster just was a bunch of guys with promise. And I mean, besides, you know, obviously Jalen and Jason and Marcus, you just had a bunch of guys who had potential to be good, but weren't. It wasn't translating on the floor, you know. And Moses Brown, really, his defensive rating isn't really that good compared to Al Horford. Al Horford's is sitting, you know, like at one point, 105 defensive rating. I think Moses Brown's is like 114 or something like that. So he's not really a good – he's a liability on defense. And we get an established player in Josh Richardson. So I'm raving about it. I love it.
Yeah, well, once again, going to be 4-for-4. If you asked me, I guess, right during the initial time of the trade, I probably would have gave you a little rant, only because it felt as if we were going to pull off the Josh Richardson trade and we were going to, like, get him for free for, like, the TPE, the rest of the Hayward TPE. That's not the case. We ended up giving up Moses Brown. Now, Moses Brown is our third string center behind, like, Rob Williams and Al Horford. Is not really ideal. If he's supposed to be this great player, then he'd be fighting the two to, you know, get a starting role. So we'll see how he does in Dallas, or, you know, if he ends up the second or third center there. But we do know, like you guys said, that Cantor, whenever given those minutes, he shows up. And you give him 5 minutes, you can give him 15 minutes, you know what he's going to give you. So, yeah, we're going 4-for-4 again with the rave. We'll go to the next topic, which is Carson Edwards is still a Celtic. You guys want to rant or rave about it? We'll start with you, Shaleem.
I just want to rant. I know his contract's guaranteed. I know that's kind of one of the main drivers. But this guy had an opportunity to crack the rotation last year with Kemba Walker's injury, and he couldn't do it. And Peyton Pritchard took that away from him. I know Peyton's a terrific player, but you would figure that, you know, he would have some shine. And you look at his numbers, you know, from in the main, like with the Red Claws. I mean, he's a 27% shooter from three. He's not coming in. I don't know what role he's going to be on the team. I don't know why he's on the team. I don't really know what, because initially when he got drafted, we're thinking he can be like a six-man role potentially. But like it does not materialize. There's no role for him on this team at this point. You just gotta go. I mean, that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, that was the nicest way to kill somebody. I really like how you killed him with just like overall just facts and just like, you know what I mean, like I don't know what he's doing here kind of thing. Like that's a fact though. He doesn't belong here. I think he either should be in the G League or overseas at this point. you know, there's just he's shown us what he's going to do, and it's just not enough. And when given the opportunity, he hasn't really shown out as much.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to hit the hay.
Yeah, I agree, man. I'm on the same boat with you. I mean, he's an undersized guard. I think we've kind of seen his ceiling. And like, you know, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying about kind of losing that opportunity that he had, I feel like he's had multiple opportunities that, you know, he's fell short on, you know, with obviously most recently Pritchard coming into the fold. But on top of that, I mean, even with, you know, Tremont Waters coming into the mix, he ended up going G League and was the MVP of the G League. So, you know, it's, I think once Tremont went to G League and really started cooking up down there, I think that was kind of the telltale signs that, you know, this guy was going to be on his way out of here. And like me personally, I thought he wouldn't have been on the roster at this point. I thought he would have already been shipped off or cut ways with him. I mean, you see what they did with Yabusele. You know, we're still paying Yabusele now. So, I mean, if we could cut ties with Carson Edwards right now and pay his contract, I'd still be cool with that. You know what I mean? Because it's just to that point, I think we all agree, like, we don't know why he's on the team, what purpose he serves or what role he serves. He's got no trade value. So I don't see where we go with that. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I got the same sentiments as you guys. You know, Carson Edwards still being on the roster, the only thing to rave about, I guess, is from a PR standpoint. Like Shane said, you know, I think a trade could have been had by now if Brad wanted to. I don't think that he has to. Like, for example, he can trade Carson Edwards to OKC along with the cash or a second round pick. He could have done that at any point, but he doesn't have to do that. Jabari Parker's contract's non-guaranteed if he wishes to make that move. Is also Chris Dunn or Bruno Fernando that could be traded. So there's a bunch of different options, but if we get to the last day of training camp and Carson Edwards trade is still there, then we could pull the trigger then. So as far as like from a PR standpoint, I would rave about it. I think Brad, I guess he's being nice to his players. So moving on to another topic, this one's a statement actually. Danny Ainge could have made the same moves this offseason that Brad Stevens made. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, real quick to piggyback off your point, because we haven't brought up Chris Dunn yet. I love that move. And you know what I mean? If he's especially filling in, see a Carson easily. Chris Dunn is an absolute defensive monster. He's a really good playmaker, in my opinion. And he still has a lot of room to grow. And he's really young. And he's just showed way, way more promise than Carson Edwards has. And much more of a sample of games. I really think it's not even comparable. So, yeah, you know, that's just one of those really great underrated moves that Brad made to kind of piggyback off your statement. I don't know if Danny Ainge could have made these moves because maybe his brain just isn't there. Like, we really know Brad is, like, really smart. And obviously Danny is too. But just to have the smart, you know, intuition to know to do it. And then the decision-making factor of the cutthroatness of like, okay, this is happening. Danny didn't have that because we heard way too many times where trades were almost going to happen or rumors or just stuff was going to happen that didn't. So I don't really think Danny in a technical sense could have made these moves because he's not that type of person in GM. But I also think that in, you know, just the general sense, yeah, like he could have, you know, obviously made these moves and saved the Celtics or made it seemingly seem like we're kind of saving our offseason or saving losing Kemba and Fournier and just the badness, just the horridness of watching last year. Technically, yeah, but I just don't think it would have gone this way if he was still the GM right now.
Yeah, no, I feel you 100%. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Danny could have definitely made all these same deals. Shoot, he probably could have made some better deals, right? But I think at the end of the day, it's more PR than anything. Somebody had to bite the bullet for the lackluster couple seasons we've had. And if it's not going to be the young, promising coach that you hope to be the future of the franchise, whether it's front office or on the bench, it's not going to be the players who, you know, can say to you, well, hey, you didn't give me, you know, the pieces I needed to do what we needed to get done in the East, especially in an improved East. So at the end of the day, it had to fall on Danny. Danny was the one that didn't make the moves to get us where we needed to be. He was the one that, you know, was okay with parting ways with several players in multiple seasons consecutively and getting nothing in return from them. You know, so at the end of the day, like I said, it all falls on Danny. And, you know, we all love Danny for what he's been able to do for us, getting us the banner and et cetera. He's done some great moves, but at the end of the day, ultimately it had to fall down on somebody. And I think it had to be him.
Yeah. I don't think he would have been able to make the same moves just from the standpoint of you traded for a point guard three straight times and you failed. If he had a trade for to get rid of Kemba, that would have been a very, very bad look on the Celtics from a PR standpoint, just what happened with Isaiah and what happened with Kyrie. So, and Danny had a streak of winning really, really ridiculous trades. And I don't think that there might have not been the same willingness to work with Danny that there is with Brad. I personally don't think that Danny could have made these same moves, even though they're so small.
Yeah, I was thinking more in terms of just the simplicity of the deals. You know what I mean? They maintain the goal of trying to keep the, you know, flexibility and to improve the roster the best they could. I do agree with where you're coming from with, you know, Danny might not have been able to do as much because of maybe the reputation he had or et cetera. But, you know, being the fact that, you know, the deals weren't too crazy, I think it was had a potential to get it done, but I think that, you know, inevitably it was because of the fact someone had to bite the bullet that was the reason why he had to go. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, Danny wouldn't have been able to, you know, get us in a better situation than we were last year. But I think, again, it's more so a thing where somebody had to bite the bullet, somebody had to take the blame, and it had to be Danny.
And honestly, I feel like Brad's just cleaning up for Danny. I just want to add that last point. I feel like Brad's just cleaning up a lot of Danny's mess that just was left in his wake. You know, I feel like there's a lot of really good moves. Like, even though they, like you guys said, none of them were too big, you know, at the magnitude of the deals. But there's a lot of really good, solid players on our team now that weren't here before. And just a lot of, I feel like a lot more comfortability and more relaxation for our main core of the Jays, in my opinion, the Jays, Rob Williams and Marcus, to be able to rely on the guys that stay around them opposed to just last year. I feel like Brad's just done a splendid job. Splendid job. And look who just hit me up. Tom just texted me. Womp, womp, womp.
So
yeah, I just want to add, just real quickly on Danny is, you know, the Kemba, I don't necessarily know if that Kemba trade was tough to do. I don't know how Danny would ship Kemba. I don't think that move materializes.
I disagree. And here's why. So we're going to have two rants and two raves on this one. I think me and Shane raved about it. You and Troy, Shaleem and Troy has ranted about it. But I'm going to agree that I do think Danny Ainge could have done these moves. And the reason why is I think Brad Stevens paid a premium to move Kemba. And that premium was the 16th pick. And I think had Danny Ainge made that move, it would have been a scrutinized move. Why? Because what we already talked about, you know, moving from point guard to point guard, ending up with Kemba and then moving Kemba for a player that you already had that you signed in free agency would have been a terrible look for Danny Ainge. But nonetheless, he would have been paying a premium with that 16th pick. So that's one part of it. I do think Brad Stevens paid a nice price to make that move happen. I think that if Danny did it, he would have been able to pull off the same thing. And then there's the, you know, whole Josh Richardson situation where Evan Fournier was traded for with the TPE, most of the Hayward TPE, which was Danny's doing. So obviously when he made that move, he knew how much was going to be left of the TPE and who was going to be available. And so Josh Richardson fits that build. Brad Stevens just went and got the guy that most likely he and Danny and everybody had their eye on for months. And then the extensions were just players that we already had that Danny drafted, and they're getting extensions. So So I just feel as though every move that was made, including the inclusion of Moses Brown and the trade, you know, some people were scrutinizing it a little bit. I think if Danny were here, he made that move, it would have been a little more heavily scrutinized than Brad. But yeah, I do think that he could have made all the moves that have been made so far. Now, if next year comes and we get blockbuster Brad trading for Brad Beal or Dame Lillard,
he's the GOAT.
Then I'll feed into, you know, perhaps the PR playing into that, where other GMs are going to want and push for more from Danny Ainge, whereas Brad Stevens might be able to pull off something else. So we'll see going forward.
You think that Danny Ainge would have traded that 16th pick to get with Kemba? You think he's going to pay that premium? He's never done. He's never paid the premium. He's never lost the trade. He's never willing.
No choice but to do that to get to the flexibility that we're at right now. He absolutely had to do that to get to the point where we're at right now.
100%. If Danny was still GM, he's re-signing Evan Fournier. He's not going to lose Evan Fournier to a sign and trade.
100%. True.
I disagree. 100%.
Which I wouldn't be the biggest fan of that move. Especially
I know,
if it was expensive.
What's up, fellas?
So welcome, Tom.
Welcome Tom.
To the Section 5 podcast.
Welcome,
my brother Tom.
Happy to be here. Sorry for the delay.
Hey, let me get right into asking you the question we all just answered. Do you think Danny Ainge could have made the same moves this offseason that Brad Stevens made?
Tom's going to agree with me.
Wait. What do you mean could have? Like he was capable, but wait, what do you mean?
So
like he
first
should
off,
have done that before?
So Danny Ainge could have made the same moves this offseason that Brad Stevens has made. And this is our rant or rave segment. So you're either going to rave or you're going to rant about that.
I think Brad Stevens, what do you mean that?
We're saying like if he didn't step down and he was still here now in his role.
Yeah, he could have. Yeah, he could have. He absolutely could have. He didn't step down because he couldn't do those things. He stepped down because he made a series of moves that he thought was really good for the team. And then none of it just worked out. And then after doing it for so long and you're constantly making the wrong moves, even though you think it's in the best interest of the team, it's the wrong move. And so after a while of doing that, 6 years of it, I think it was just time for him to go. So he absolutely could have made the same moves that Brad made. But I think he was done and the Celtics were kind of done.
Right. And then it's also, you know, people were not liking his drafting some years. And this year we only had the 45th pick. So, you know, wouldn't have been much there to shit on Danny about.
Right.
I do think that he could have made all of the transactions, all of the extensions, all of the trades.
I think it was just time. Exactly. It was just time. Time to move on from him.
Agreed. And our last part segment is starting Al Horford over Robert Williams. If that happens, are you going to rant about that or are you going to rave about that?
I'm ranting. I need to take the floor here. No, Uh-oh. No, big, fat, no. Rant. One, especially if Robert Williams is healthy, we got to take advantage. Now we can stagger his minutes. He can play 24, 25 minutes, but I'm going to completely rant on that one because I feel just for what we saw last year and, you know, obviously assuming he's coming into this year healthy, he's got to start. And I also really like the idea of Al Horford coming off the bench and that second unit being really, really tough. Just, you know, obviously, in my opinion, I like parity in general. So I want more staggering of just overall balance with both lineups. And I feel like I don't want Marcus Smart to start. I feel like he will just from what I've been hearing and how the Celtics talk. But I'd rather Marcus come off the bench and Schroeder start. And I'd rather Horford come off the bench and Rob Williams start. Because I feel like those two are going to be the main of like kind of who start kind of questions. Because we know the Jays are starting. And it's just building around them.
I think that sometimes that's a juggernaut of an energy charge that will be really good to come off the bench, maybe even with Smart. But I can totally relate to what Troy's saying about it's time for Rob to start. He's capable of it. If he healthy wise can keep up, then he should be out there first. And then Al can have that veteran presence off the bench. I see both sides. I want Rob off the bench.
All right. Shaleem?
Yeah, I want Rob off the bench. Rob gets into foul trouble way too much. And when is a premier matchup at the center spot, I don't think he can handle defending. I don't think anybody can defend Joel Embiid, but I think Al gives us a better shot when it comes to those premier bigs. I like Rob Williams, and I understand what Troy's saying, but I've just seen Rob get into way too many, games where he's in foul trouble early in the first quarter, and it just completely throws off the rhythm of the game. So I want him to come off the bench. And I think
– No, that's fair.
How often needs to start. I mean, why we have him? He's got that massive contract. He's got to start.
No, that's definitely fair. I just feel like his progression as a player too. I'm not going to assume obviously if we're going off of data that we've seen, we can assume maybe he might be a little more jumpy or whatever, but I feel like he's still pretty young and he's been getting better, with kind of staying on his feet and not going for every single block like he was initially. So I feel like he's going to grow and that'll just come with his evolution as a player. But, I definitely can see you guys aside and agree, especially with where I feel like I want Al Horford to kind of be a mentor to Rob Williams. So if he comes out and sets the tone starting, then when Rob Williams comes off the bench, he'll probably be a little more charged to want to, just ball out and fight more for a spot that's not guaranteed for him.
Right. And I can see where you're coming from too, because I mean, Al's on the books for how long compared to how long is Rob on the books? And so maybe that you could still get plus production at the center with Rob starting and also be looking toward the future instead of, it's not like a throwaway if you're starting Rob over exactly. Al. I get that. But mine is the energy thing. I like the energy coming off the bench. So I want it off the bench.
Agree.
I feel you. I mean, the one thing that we got to be wary of is who else is going to start, which makes it work. Like for me personally, if Rob's healthy, I want Rob to start. Now, whether Al comes off the bench or we play some type of, center by committee and, you do kind of like a matchup type thing. Like, last season, we had so many different, starting lineups. We didn't have a true starting lineup. I think you might see this year, there might be times where Ime might, go with Rob at the five and, you might slide Tatum down to the three and play Al at the four. I think it really depends on what other guard is going to be in the game at the time. If you go with Richardson or Smart, not really shooting the ball like that, maybe you do want Al on the court to try to stretch it out a little bit or to at least have the potential to space the court out with him being able to go out to three-point line and stretch it out a little bit. I mean, his numbers have obviously dwindled down a little bit, but Al can still shoot the ball a little bit. So, I mean, I think there will be games where we see Al in the starting lineup. I'm not sure that it's going to be all the time unless Rob is missing time with injury, but we could see some matchup situations going down the line. But I'm definitely intrigued to see how Ime is going to work that out, especially with not having bona fide shooting from the guard position that you could say, hey, these guys can stretch the court. You know what I mean? So we'll see what it works.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what system he's going to run, because Brad Stevens, if it's Brad's system, you want Al in there because he's going to move the ball, yep. A high amount of assists. But we don't know what the system's going to look like. So
exactly. That's why I think it's so important. We don't know which big, you should start, because like you said, with Brad, bigs who couldn't shoot almost died here. Like you couldn't really do anything in this system if you couldn't shoot the basketball or space out the court with the 3-point line. So again, with us not knowing really how much Ime is going to change things up or, stay true to what Brad was doing in his first season as a, with total control. He's always been an assistant. So we're not really familiar with his actual style. Is he going to take a little bit from this guy, take a little bit from Pop? What's he going to do? Like, we don't know that.
But he just came from right before us. He was with Philly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, so we got to imagine he's going to, you know, think of Joel Embiid in some type of form and work that into. I feel like that just leans more towards Al with that play style since he stretches the floor more, a little bit more than Rob, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so again, more to my point, do you think they're going to possibly go with a matchup thing? Or, you know, is Rob going to be the clear-cut starter unless, again, bearing injury? Like, or are we going to see a matchup thing where, hey, we're going up against Embiid tonight, Alice, your night, or we're going up against X, Y, and Z, Rob, you're going for it. Like, I'm not too sure at this point, you know what I mean, to know what's going to go on with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to rave. No matter how it happens, I'm going to rave about it because I trust Ime, even though he hasn't coached a game for us yet. I trust Brad Stevens as the president of basketball operations. So I trust their judgment. I think if Al Horford starts, it'll be a good thing for the Seas. I'm hoping that Robert Williams starts sooner rather than later. If this is a situation where to start the season or most games, Al Horford starts and then other games or, you know, maybe the latter half of the season, Robert Williams starts, I'd be cool with that. One thing that I will say is that when it comes to making a blockbuster trade going forward, Al Horford is the first guy that is going to come to mind because no one wants to trade the Jays. Marcus Smart is the longest tenured Celtic who everybody loves. His name will be mentioned right after Al Horford's in terms of salary matching for a star. And then you got Josh Richardson. So like those three candidates, salaries are two of those at least will be needed and everybody will want to keep Marcus Smart. So just as we approach next offseason, who knows what's going to happen in terms of Al Horford. So I don't know how Ime wants to go about it this year in terms of who's going to start, but I think either way, you know, start or coming off the bench, Al's going to play his role. He's going to play well. It's just what Al does.
Right. No, I'm with you.
I got a quick question for y'all. Just because we know what's going on in Portland and we know what's going on in Washington, I feel like got it in the league. Those are the two, you know, those are the two stars who need to leave the most. Would you guys rather Lillard or Beal for this team?
For this team, I think it's got to be Beal, just with everything that's leading up into it. But I mean, personally, Dame Dollar is just a killer.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, for me, Dame is that guy. Like, he's really, really that guy. So,
I think it's Lillard. Tough.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like it's Lillard too.
Lillard.
Dude could shoot from the logo. And when you have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown on the same floor, guy who can shoot from the logo, that would be crazy.
And elite passer too.
I would literally cry like every game, just being like, "This is basketball masterpiece."
Our head, right? Why are you putting these thoughts in your head? Now that's what all we're gonna be thinking about.
Well, because you know that's what. I seen the rumor mill, Lillard, this and that. You know, Lillard's going to be rumored to go everywhere because especially if Portland doesn't do stuff this year.
Yeah.
You already know.
I just saw like a rumor where they were going to trade Pritchard, Langford, Nesmith, two first rounds for Lillard. That's like a...
What? That's nothing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sign me up. Bro, what?
Yeah, no, but it's like... These rumors are just like rumors.
Yeah. If it happens before the trade deadline, they can also have Dennis Schroeder.
Facts.
They can get a head start on their point guard.
Take Schroeder, take Richardson if you want. Like, take five players.
I do think we have the pieces.
I would just want Ime to establish what role each player has on the team if and when we get the either Beal or Lillard or any other superstar. It needs to be established because we can't have what happened with Kyrie again, because that was just not.
And I think Beal and Lillard would be much better than Kyrie. He's kind of a unicorn in that way. But
agreed.
At the same time, you're absolutely right. Because, I mean, even we saw it with Kemba. They tried to force feed him the ball a lot, and it was awful. Awful when he was ice cold, and they just kept going. So...
Well, I think another thing with Kyrie, too, was kind of Brown and Tatum, like, getting a little bit of stardom and then having to push that back. And then I'm like, no. Yeah. Like, so it's both sides, definitely.
My My prediction has been that one of Beal or Lillard will end up on the Celtics and the other will end up a Golden State Warrior.
Oh, my goodness.
I would hate every second of that.
Oh, my good golly goodness.
But I, yeah, probably.
I feel like Beal would be a better fit for them because you could probably, I mean, you don't want to really go with two guards. I mean, for all we want to say about how they can score the ball, Dame and Curry both have their struggles defensively. So, yeah, I mean, if you had
on the same team, bro.
I mean, no, listen, you don't lose with either one, right?
You have to play full court press because they're both about to shoot over half court. It's just going to be a half court competition the whole game.
We're talking about picking between, you know, Charizard or Blastoise. You win either way. Facts. You win either way. You know Facts. What I mean? I just think for fit-wise, you know, Beal would be the solidified two guard who you can count on. And, you know, you can always move Clay to the three if you wanted to. But I feel like if you add Dame to that mix, you got two guards who, you know what I mean? Like I said, for all the points they could put up in the world, similar to, you know, the Nets, those two guards would have their deficiencies defensively. So I think Beal would probably be a better fit for them. But if they got any of those two, they right back in the mix, man.
They're already in the mix,
but if they get one of those two,
they're in the three of the contender mix.
Yeah. Like we're right, they're on the bubble right now of contender. Yeah. I don't want to branch on it for too long, but they're on the bubble. Like we all know, if Clay comes back strong, they're gonna be right there. But if they ended up getting any of those two guys without giving up Clay or Steph, which I really don't know how they would, they'd have to be probably a three way trade or something like that, but. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
So if you guys had to give the Celtics a seed, you know, right now, where they would finish in the standings, what would it be? Like you're way too early. Before training camp's even over, you know, your prediction of where the Celtics will fall.
I think we have the potential to be in that three seed mix fighting with Miami and, you know, but I think we're going to be right around four, the lowest five, six. I mean, I like the improvements from, you know, Chicago and New York and, you know, even Miami got really, really good. But, you know, if Tatum takes another leap, if Brown takes a leap, we're way better off defensively than we were last season, much more better veteran presence. I think all around we're a better team this season. So I think we could find ourselves if we peak playing our, you know, in the three seed types position. But, you know, if, you know, some things go wrong or, you know, it's just not our time, we're probably going to fall no further than six, five, in my opinion.
I'd say probably five. Nets, Bucks, Heat, Bulls, Celtics.
Okay. No, I like us. If I had to guess, and if I want to give an estimate, I do agree with Shane with the 3-6. But I just feel like we have all the makings to be a three seed. We're battle tested. Our stars are ready and experienced and ready to take over. We have really the two best, wing tandem young superstars. Beside Kawhi and PG, we have, you know, the two best wing guys, and definitely in the East. Just star power, we're up there with the Nets and the Bucks. So, you know, they're obviously better than us, but I really like us at that three seed. I think we can definitely be better than the Heat. The Heat are going to be really good. All these teams are going to be in the mix. It's going to be perfect. It's just going to be awesome to watch. You know, no one's really said the Hornets, but I really like them if they're healthy too. It's going to be very interesting.
I think they needed to add a big to be in the top six, but I agree that they are very good.
Mm-hmm. I definitely see them on the rise. I would have liked to see them add a big man as well in the offseason. I think we talked about that before, Tom. I think that would have definitely put them, you know, on the upward trend a little bit more from last season and build on that. But they're definitely on the rise.
Sure, right. Miles Turner is available.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, he would have been nice.
You know, if you're thinking about upgrading that big position, I know they drafted a couple of bigs, but I'm sure they're not just ready yet.
That'll be good. That'll be good for them.
I'd agree with you guys. Third to sixth seed. But one thing that I do like is that I feel like the underdog Celtics are back. We finished seventh seed. Everyone's kind of, you know, shitting on us now.
This is where we love to be.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, Atlanta's not a better team than the Celtics. Neither are the Knicks.
Nope.
Those teams finished ahead of us. At minimum, we should be fifth seed. Hopefully, we could be a third seed. I said it all last year. Philly's a bunch of frauds.
Philly takes the drop down.
Right. I knew come playoff time that they wouldn't amount to being a first seed.
Frail.
Why? We'll see what they do with Ben Simmons if he gets traded before the season starts or not, because that could affect where they fall in the standings. But, you know, I think the Celtics could be better than Miami, could be better than the Bulls.
Miami depends on the health. It really if they're fully healthy, then they're a top two, maybe, well, top three team. But it depends on their health. Sorry to cut you.
For sure. No, right, for sure.
That's true. You know, anybody Miami's taking time off would affect that. You know, Kyle Lowry takes any time off. Jimmy Butler takes any time off for injury, can just affect the seeding. So whose team's going to be healthiest? You know, I know the Nets could be a first seed, but they could also be a second or third seed due to health. So
yeah,
whoever gets that first seed.
The Nets don't really care about the standings, though, so it's kind of like they're not going to fight for that first. They don't care about home court. They got a bunch of stars.
That's true, too. They'll definitely load manage over anything, you know, over any other strategy. I could see that happening.
But the biggest thing is that, like, the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference hasn't mean jack shit in, like, the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years. Like, anything.
This is true. It's really just about getting there and having a decent amount of home games. So you want
momentum.
You want to have those home games. You want to have the momentum. But you're absolutely right. The number one seed doesn't mean really that much. You can be 4 and be all set.
Yeah. I mean, even like a play-in team, like you're looking at like the Wizards. Yeah, they lost Russ, but like one could argue they got a lot better and a lot deeper, adding a lot of solid players. Like, so like, you know, and again, we're going to have the play-in. So it's not like we're just talking about 8 teams. So it's definitely going to be interesting, bro.
Yeah, but I don't think Boston's going to land in that play-in. I think you're going to be
for sure.
Tier, possibly third. It depends. Like you said, Philly. I don't know.
Philly in the play-in? That's hilarious.
I don't know, man. I don't know, because if Ben Simmons goes, you know, Embiid can't stay healthy for a full season.
Yeah, then they'd be screwed.
And it's looking a little spooky.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right in that 9-10, and I'm being serious. Not better than Brooklyn. You're not better than the Bucks. You're not better than the Heat. You're not better. Even the Bulls got better than them, in my opinion. Atlanta, maybe, but Atlanta smoked them last. They smoked their boots. Like we said, the Wizards got better. The Knicks got better. I see them right there with the Knicks. And, you know, a Knicks team that was so solid last season, they're probably bottom 8 right now. They're themselves. You think the Knicks are going to be top 4?
They have the potential. I'm not saying that they will, but I'm saying that's what I mean. They were one.
I think they'll be like 6. It'll be 6 or 7.
And they played his ass off last year.
And they were the 6th seed. So I don't know what you all are on, but
a lot of teams got better, though. It's not just them. That's the thing.
Yeah, Joel Embiid played his ass off last season. You know,
he did.
He was like in the running for MVP. I don't think he necessarily get that same type of season.
He ain't getting calls no more. They changed the rules.
You know, especially if Ben Simmons is not going to get traded for a better sidekick, then I feel like they're going to get off to.
What do you guys think of Ben Simmons start for Damian Lillard?
I would hate every single second of that.
It would suck, but they would be really scary.
You said Simmons for Lillard?
That's an equal trade?
No,
it would be Simmons in pieces. You know what I mean? In my opinion. But yeah, Simmons in pieces for Lillard.
I don't think
it would be scary.
I mean, Simmons is still good.
Okay. They still can't guard us at the wing.
He's still my point guard.
People got to respect.
I don't know, man. He missed the dunk. He didn't even. He wasn't even trying to score. Like, that's. I don't know what to say about that. Yeah.
All right. He's the best guard.
Yeah, he definitely is really good defensively, and Portland needs defense, so none of that.
And he's a good defender.
You know, if he does want to be there and he's going to walk anyway, and you want to obviously get return for Lillard leaving, Ben Simmons is a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, I think the only thing that matters seeding-wise is kind of where you finish relative to Brooklyn. So Brooklyn finishes one. Do you want to be that fourth seed? And if Brooklyn finishes two, do you want to be that third seed? Because you don't want to get that second round exit.
That's a fact. But we could beat them in the second round.
I think a lot of these teams they can pretty much beat everybody.
Yeah, fact.
Like 1-6, I could see going to 7-game series, each of them. With each other.
Oh, I can't wait. We should just teleport to the playoffs right now. Just completely bypass the regular season.
Fake fan. He's a fake fan.
No, I'm just can't wait.
Question. Well, what games are y'all like circling on your calendar?
March 13th is pretty much the big one for me. Kevin Garnett's a retirement game, his return to the Garden.
Oh, yep. Let's go. Shout out KG.
All right.
Big ticket.
I got to be at the Garden for that one.
Let me look at prices for that. They drop already?
Oh, man. That's going to be so crazy. We might have to go to that. We might have to go to that, boys.
What date is it? March 13th?
We might have to go to that, boys.
Tickets as low as $156.
Oh, yeah?
As low as.
What's up? I'm with all that. I'm definitely looking at that game. Obviously, the return of Kyrie. Every time he comes back, I'm all about that action. So, and then again,
he burns sage. I swear to God, he burns sage. I'm all set. 40, I'm beat.
I'm so mad because he's like the type of person. Like, I want to go there as a fan and just give him hell. But I'm like, with all this media shit now, I'm like, let me sit my ass down. I don't want nobody saying nothing about no Boston fan.
For real.
Crazy, but yeah, I definitely want to see him again. And then I guess the Lakers too, the new look Lakers, Celtics Lakers rivalry, obviously. Yeah, that's always facts. Good for basketball. Yeah. So it's always a good thing when they play.
Nothing's better than a Knicks game at the Garden. So yeah, I wouldn't mind being there for Kemba's return.
They're gonna boo? You think they'll boo?
Nah, they'll show him love. They'll show
I hope not. I hope we don't, honestly.
Kemba will smile when we get smacked about like 30.
$4.
Nah, that's facts. That was very annoying.
All right, guys. So we're gonna wrap up the pod. I know there's a fight tonight that we're all gonna watch. I'm sure. Everybody,
yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
Yes,
pod at you. The parquet. Thank section you. 5 little mashup. This was dope. Shout out Shaleem. Shout out my boys Trey and Shaleem. You know Shane. You know Tom. Follow us, millions of fans.
Spokesperson of Plot at the Parquet, get out of here.
No, I am the realist.
Shout out to Plot at the Parquet.
Yes, sir.
You're listening. You guys follow them on all platforms. You can go listen to their pod, Plot at the Parquet. It's also a Celtics pod.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Good to see you
later.
Good to see you guys.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all take care.
All right.